What is good, everyone? Welcome back to Season 3, Episode 24. We're going to finish up How the Enemy Thinks and Acts. I did go over a few different areas already, such as problem, reaction, solution, spiritual technology, acceptance of inception, blood rituals, pedophilia, blackmail, and drugs, removal of wisdom, carnal and soulful connections, archaeometry, control of resources, seduction of monarchs, which are leaders, indoctrination of children, control the opposition, 99-1 rule. Well, we're going to finish it up with this episode, because there is a big season that I've been working on for you all, so that way we can get to it even quicker. So, that being said, we're going to talk about create idolatry through covetousness, traumatize love to seek pleasure, use fear to control hope, allow battles to be lost to win the war, ungodly spiritual powers, compartmentalize the process, rebellion equals theft, hide in plain sight. Yes, I did plan to make these as separate, but with the amount of content that I have for the next season and where things are at in the world, it's best to just finish these all up and move to season 4. So this is the season finale, to learn how the enemy thinks and acts. So, you're all appreciated and tuning in and listening to this awesome content. I have been slacking a bit, but that is because I had to create the content on season 4. And you're all wondering, what the heck is season 4? Why is it so big? Well, we're going to go in depth to the list of different demonic powers, as well as entities and different occult powers and sects of mystery and order and so forth. As well as the Black Nobility. Yes, the Black Nobility that was reigning during the Renaissance era, that are still around today, but their names don't give prominence because they keep themselves out of the media for the reason that they are also, in addition to the satanic bloodlines. With that being said, everyone, don't forget to donate to help support this podcast. It'd be greatly appreciated. You can also check out my social media tab, _freedom. You'll be able to find that on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. And I appreciate everyone that wants to learn more. That being said, we're going to take a short break. And what we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to cover these last several topics. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back, everyone. Appreciate you all staying tuned in, learning more about the truth. I realize some of this information you can just easily search yourself online, and I do highly encourage and recommend you do so in order to see what it is that I'm talking about. And I have before, at the end of each episode, in previous seasons, gave you all either a book to read or a true stock to put towards, not as a recommendation or suggestion, that it's best because since I do consult business owners and create trusts and help people build wealth from nothing, like truly building wealth from nothing, as a recommendation, because I do not need to be licensed to give this kind of advice, to have a diversification of 60% tangible assets to 40% intangible assets with where we're headed. But let's go ahead and get right into this episode. So first and foremost, create idolatry through covetousness. You know, what does that really mean? Can you really create idolatry through covetousness? Oh. And how is worshiping something coveting something else? Well, take for example the phone you have, the smartphone you have, or the tablet, or the computer. Are you putting your life into it? Is it a part of who you are? And then do you go and show this part of your life to friends and family? It's not to say technology is evil in and of itself. Rather, the way that it has been constructed for people. So, idolatry is worshiping something other than our Creator. Or if you have a different belief, worshiping something other than that God. And let's put it a bit more in perspective. You see the celebrities, Fortune 500 company owners, or the largest companies in the world, politicians, those are three of the biggest areas in the world. And so when you support them, and I'm speaking of all the agents of the enemy, when you support them, and you wear attire or clothing from them, or some sort of funding, or maybe it's food, whatever it is, being given these things to focus on them, and then publicizing those things from the one who gave it to you. That when you see the opposite side, you'll want that even more I'm not talking about like the pedophilia and changing in genders and stuff like that. Okay, not that. But when you see that you're a part of this group, but you want more, and you see that another group has more, or vice versa, others see that they want more, that when you are engaging with that one you're supporting, that is not following God, but is an agent of the enemy, that everyone else around who does not have what you have, as you're putting your energy, your time, your effort, your heart towards that individual or group, causes jealousy, envy from others. Because it doesn't have to be politics and government, it can be entertainment, it can be economics. Politics, entertainment, business. Those are the top three. Because when people see the Satanic Bloodline's agents grabbing up more and more, taking away from people, and them showing off by hiding that connection of them taking, then produces that envy, that jealousy, that the people want what they can't have because they're not taught to go after it. They're just taught to chase the almighty Federal Reserve notes. True, it'll say dollar on the United States currency on the bottom, but on the top it says Federal Reserve note. So it is a fraudulent bank note. It is fraud and debt. So, how do you get away from that? Connect to your spirit. Connect to your spirits. Engage in the spirit realm with our Creator Yeshua in the morning when you wake up. It's how you're able to start moving away from it. Eliminate things in your life that just don't restore creation, that don't help you grow. And through that, it's going to take time. It's not something you can, it's not like everything that you have that you see that is bad, you'll be able to cut off completely right away. You can't cut everything cold turkey. I've done that myself with some things and have worked. Some other things, it takes time. I'm still struggling with some things as well. So, it's going to depend on what it is in your life. But the more you cut out, and then replace, or just cut out completely, well, then you're on your way to not committing idolatry and not creating envy and jealousy within others. Now, since we have talked about create idolatry through covetousness, let's go ahead and talk about traumatized love to seek pleasure. Yes, this is the one of the worst things that has happened that is utilized in bread and circuses. For example, when you want to have people fall into the bread and circuses routine, you have to traumatize them away from what they love in the current moment. That it be destroyed, and finding no solution of healing, but to soothe the pain with something pleasurable. Over time, creates that bread and circuses. For an example, let's take a look at when people first, let's say when we were first learning about the satanic bloodlines that have been ruling for thousands of years. Some of us were traumatized knowing that there's been blood rituals and pedophilia that's been going on for thousands of years in order to create an evil grid matrix to keep us from pursuing truth and justice and righteousness. All by getting things out of reach that by removing education, wisdom in the school system, they don't teach you. I'm talking about the vast majority of schooling does not teach how to first and foremost build a foundation, building wealth, which is focusing on two or three key skills. I mean, that's why they have trade schools, but with most schools worldwide, they don't teach you that you need to have two or three key skills before you can acquire cash flow, before you can acquire a business or start a business, or setting aside a tenth of every time you earn. So, by going through school, they traumatize you by giving you instructions on obeying authority, doing as you're told, stay within the boundaries. And because you don't want to do that, then you go to relay yourself towards solutions that are fun. I mean, it's not that we don't need to be cutting out fun completely. But then going after addictive alternatives, habitually destroying activities. So getting outside of school, usually it's about middle school when the drugs start. The partying, the sex, the bad music, the violence, and so forth. Bad violence. There's good violence. Violence is neither good or bad. It's how you use it. Are you using it to defend yourself and your loved ones, or are you using it to hurt other people because you want to have power? Put it that way. So yes, and from a United States standpoint, we have, most places will have preschool, then it will have kindergarten, then it will be what we would call elementary school or grade school, where you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then middle school would be 6, 7, 8. Sometimes it could be 7, 8, 9. And then you have high school, which would be 9, 10, 11, 12 most of the time. Very rarely is there 13. Very rarely. It usually goes up to 12. And then there is college. Okay, so with high school, you focus on sports or music to get away, or art to get away from the homework, or there are those that read books as well. That is another way. That was one of my ways out, was reading books. Which actually is one of the best ways out. Granted, it wasn't books that really helped me, but it was books that were interesting. However, going from the high school to the college phase, there's this disconnection, believing things are going to continue the same, and then going into the college phase, everything changes between people. They think, oh, it's going to be the same, then it changes up. Or usually people will stay the same. That is for those in the United States. But when it comes to college and post-college, now you're seeing that, oh, or sometimes high school, oh, I need to work a job to sustain myself through all this. I have to work it 40 years before I can retire without being taught anything as to how to eliminate taxation, not teaching how to build cash flow, start a business, acquire a business, how to properly invest in stocks, bonds, and ETFs. I mean, there's more than just that I'm mentioning. But because they've built the process of obedience to the voice of authority throughout grade school, which is in the United States is elementary, middle, and high school. Now you're in this process of listening to the employer. Because John D. Rockefeller said, and I quote, "I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers." Because Nelson Aldrich Rockefeller changed the education, wealth, and welfare and health system in the United States. That is, for other countries, it'll be roughly similar, the different characteristics. So now, because people have engaged themselves with sports and music, and arts and entertainment in high school, they add that more into the college and the post-college era. Or even growing up, being a part of sports or some sort of martial arts or whatever. The circus is part, the bread. We need to keep consuming, keep consuming, keep consuming to get us through the day. So they're traumatizing what you love for you to be obedient to the voice of authority, to work for the Satanic Bloodlines corporations. So how do you walk away from things like that? Well, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a good deal of time to walk away from things like that. But healing comes from inner healing and deliverance. For example, I recommend Bride Ministries in the United States. There's also another gentleman by the name of Arthur Burke. They do inner healing and deliverance. There's Field of Dreams Ministry, which is out in Australia, that does similar workings. There's Adam Thompson, who does prophecy. There's also Canaan Ministries, which is in South Africa. Those are a few that I'm aware of when it comes to inner healing and deliverance for people of all walks of life that will help you in gaining the healing that you need internally, but on the external, by removing certain entertainments certain pleasures, replacing it with things that truly build you up. It's not to say you need to remove everything out of your life, you know. If you like to play football, I'm talking internationally. For those in the United States, would be soccer. That's fine, you know. It could be evenly matched or unevenly matched. There's nothing wrong with having some sports. Doing it for fun. There's everything wrong when you get into the Major League Soccer or Major League Baseball or National Football League or National Basketball Association. There's everything wrong when you start getting into those. Everything wrong. That is one of the biggest things in our entire world that keeps the bread and circuses going. I'm not saying that's the only thing there, but look for ways that remove the things that the enemy has provided and given, and replace them with things that actually are beneficial for you, that do work, helpful, reducing those stressful times, and getting yourself out of the jobs by first and foremost focusing on two or three key skills you're going to be you want to apply yourself to. Because you could turn those into a business, or you can acquire a business with a team. So there's many things on that. But let's go ahead and pause right here. And we're going to go ahead and get right back into this very shortly. We're going to continue on to this with use fear to control hope. Allow battles to be lost to win the war. Ungodly spiritual powers. Compartmentalize the process. Rebellion equals theft. And hide in plain sight. Stay tuned. And of course, welcome back, everyone. We're going to continue on. First on use fear to control hope. All right. So what's the best example to use fear to control hope? Well, that would be the Catholic Church and the Vatican. And if some of you are Catholics, I am not sorry to burst your bubble, but you need to do your research. I have some family that are Catholics, and one of them that I met with that was a bit understanding about the whole New World Order agenda when I exposed him that the Catholic Church has a bunch of pedophiles and that the Vatican is completely a destructive force that's going along, that is actually a part of the New World Order agenda, was flaking out on me, did not want to hang out anymore. So I am not sorry for everyone who is a Catholic on here that cannot handle this truth, that we are coming into a time you have to accept it. You can't just, if you want to reject it and you want to go keep going along with the system, then go ahead. By all means, support the New World Order agenda. You do that. But I'm not going to support anyone who does. Okay? It's time to stop beating around the bush. It's time to stop saying, oh, let's think about this, or maybe it's not. No. Do the research. Don't just outright reject it. Research it after the claim. But as you all have heard from my previous episodes, I talk about how the Vatican and the Catholic Church are part of the satanic bloodlines. It is a creation by the enemy. So they use fear to control hope. Best way. You're going to burn in hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Shame on you. And then you do something bad in the church, and they play the shame blame game on you while they're committing evil behind everybody's backs. Another way, use fear to control hope. For example, let's use the United States Corporation. Most people believe that the U.S. government is at least good and there's just some bad actors in there, and that's absolutely untrue. So what do? They push the agenda of fear on the right side, they'll say, down with China, bad China, communists are trying to take over. And on the left side, they'll say, support Ukraine, change your gender, all that nonsense. And so people were like, no, none of that. But we need to stick with the Constitution. The Constitution will protect us, really? How do you know the Constitution that is in Washington, D.C. is the original one? How do you know? You don't. Because the original U.S. Constitution is not applicable today. Because the current Constitution is the U.S. Constitution for the United States Corporation. So those that are United States citizens that say, yes, I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a citizen here living in this state. You are a debt slave with no rights and no life. And so what you were taught in school is that the Constitution, written and autographed on July 4th, 1776, brought our independence, and that the people have their rights and liberties installed, and that it is we the people that control the government, when that is absolutely not true. Bringing you false information, because the enemy created the United States Corporation for the military-industrial complex to be ravaging most of the globe, or most of the earth. It's not a globe, and it's not flat. Anybody who believes the earth is flat is believing Freemason doctrine. I'm not going to debate it, because the evidence is there. And anyone who is a follower of Yeshua and wants to use scripture, you don't have experience. Stop using scripture to back up a false theory that Freemason started. It does not prove any scientific, mathematical, or experiential basis for flat earth. Flat earth is false. It's not a globe either. Okay? But people think that there's hope because they think that, oh yeah, we can use the Constitution to go ahead and assert our rights and our authority. When the 13th and 14th Amendments, minus the protection against the government, that every citizen, whether black, white, Asian, Indian, no matter what you are right now, you are now a slave. And throughout the history, you have the Supreme Court, as well as acts by Congress, that turn the citizen into a United States citizen, owing permanent allegiance to the United States Corporation. And over time, also then, with the Federal Reserve created, to be a debt slave, having no rights and no life. So, the enemy pushing this fear propaganda in the media, and then people believing that there's hope because they can use the Constitution. That's how they are able to control hope, using fear. So what is the solution out of that? You need to correct your status if you live in the United States. You correct your status, and one of those ways is authenticating your birth certificate. You send an affidavit to Secretary of State for the country, Secretary of State of your state, Attorney General of the country, Attorney General of the state you're in, or President of the United States. Plus a few other documents that you do. What about with the Catholic Church? What if I live in an area where it's heavily Catholicized? What if my family disowns me? Then your family will disown you. God was very clear. He did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And that sword would divide the household. Fathers with sons. Mothers with daughters. Daughters-in-laws with mothers-in-laws. It's not about looking to please and have love from your family entirely. It's about pleasing and loving God. And those that want to follow will be a part of it. That's how that works. Doesn't mean that you just start acting irrationally and disrespectful. Don't do that. Because that's not one of the... That's not manifesting one, the fruits of the Spirit. But it takes time. So, now that we talked about use fear to control hope as a couple examples, we're going to go ahead and talk about how, or talk about allow battles to be lost to win the war. So, when you allow battles to be lost to win the war, that's also when you use fear to control hope. Meaning, let's put it this way, the controlled opposition is actually influencing the masses, the patriots, the nationalists of each country, with this false idea of hope that they know they're going to lose the battle of governments controlling people. They know that. They know that that's not how it's going to work. They have done that in the past, and new rebellions would rise because of it. Well, then they knew that using those rebellions to then move it towards their agenda is how they flipped it. So, they will take things as an example right now. They're getting the people, both on the right and left, to come together to overthrow all governments, which are corporations. And we need them overthrown. We do not need them. They're a complete and utter disgrace. They're complete and utter sham. They're complete and utter evil. We do not need these governments. They are completely disgusting. They do nothing of the sort of actually restoring creation. Is a false sense of security. So that's why the enemy will then have order out of chaos, because they want to provide the solution once people overthrow these governments to come together and say, hey, this is what happened. We were all disconnected. We need to be connected, but we can't have a centralized system. But we all need to be connected still in one form or another. And so they want to be able to provide the solution of having the actual one world government that the people themselves create. So that's one of the biggest examples that's happening today, right now, is because the masses want to go along with what the enemy is creating, having them prepared and ready to overthrow all governments to provide the solution of the people believing they've created a one-world government for themselves. That is what needs to be stopped, just as much as all this other stuff that's happening. Well, let's go on to ungodly spiritual powers. It's something I'm actually going to go in-depth that's going to be talked about in Season 4. Yes. I actually have quite a list. And I'm not even done with it. But I will be done with it soon. I do have other things that I have finished out. This is just one of them that I'm finishing up with. Well, what is this? Well, here we have astrology, fortune telling, Ouija board, yoga, transcendental meditation, reincarnation, karate, Zen. Karate technically is not really protecting one, it's just a form of communing with this kundalini spirit. Astral projection, lucky charms, Islamic curses, sects of mystery and order, white and black witchcraft, hypnotism, superstition, faith healing, spirit healing, poltergeist, levitation, voodoo, psychometry, telekinesis, divination, teleportation, necromancy, church visitation, lycanthropy, vegetarianism, transmigration, telepathy, archaeometry, alchemy, numerology, familiar spirit, hoodoo. Those are a list of things that I have that are ungodly spiritual powers. We are not supposed to be moving things with our minds. We're not supposed to be gaining a higher consciousness. Okay? If we're to go into the spirit realm, we are not to have our soul come out of our body and have mind-to-mind communication and stuff like that. That's just a bunch of nonsense. What we are to do is to have our own independent mind, but all be of one mind. Meaning we all think alike, but all have the ability to think for ourselves without infiltration into our own minds. And to doing anything spiritually, we connect to our spirit together as one. That each one of us has a spirit that does not then merge with each other to become one, but to be one in what we do and what we speak. So there are a few different things that are out there that are ungodly spiritual powers and are not at all to be engaged with. I did not mention in there New Age things, because I do have a list of so many different occult powers and so forth that I can mention some of them. For example, there's acupuncture, needles inserted into the body to connect chakras. That's spirit healing. You're not supposed to be doing that. It's part of the Kabbalistic tree of life. There is an amulet, Latin word amuletum, meaning an object that protects a person from trouble. It's alchemy plus a good luck charm. You also have anthroposophy, a basic introduction to Kabbalah. It's a counterfeit of how one goes into the spirit by producing similar results. You have augury, which is the practice from ancient Roman religion of interpreting omens from the observed behavior of birds. And those are just some. I didn't mention all. There's much more. We'll get into that in season 4. But now what we're going to talk about is compartmentalizing the process. Okay? Compartmentalizing the process. How does this work? Well, you teach people a certain area and have them stick to that and don't have them focus on anything but what they're doing. For example, you have the education system teach people to work a job and they want to have a house of their own. So they have the banks involved where they provide a mortgage for someone to acquire. And the job they work provides the income to give the principal and interest. Well, then come later. Let's say they can't pay it in the future because of either interest or lost the job or whatever it may be. Because they're not taught how to build wealth. Especially not taught that all mortgages today in the United States are complete fraud. They don't exist. The original title does not exist because they're 2008 mortgage crisis. So then you have people that go through bankruptcy and then they go through bankruptcy court where you have the real estate company that takes the property with the banks, having the lawyers that are the soldiers for the international bankers take it from the people through the court, and the court issuing judgment in favor of the banks. But yet then, the judge, the lawyer, the real estate agent, and the banker might not even be connected to the enemy and are just thought this is how they need to do things. Or you could have all of them connected together and doing that because they're able to make a profit that way. That's compartmentalizing the process. Another way would be, for example, someone commits a crime with no victim involved. All it does is really harm them. Or if not harm them, it's just healing them. That then they get arrested. And so when they go through the process of fingerprinting and getting put in the system, then they're going to be going through a court process where then they go to jail or prison, that during that time, the lawyer gets paid, the judge gets paid, the bailiff gets paid, because they accessed then the U.S. citizen's Social Security number as access to the credits of the United States that's in the Federal Reserve, where they get paid from, not taxes. They don't get paid from taxes at all. People think that taxes go to paying for the court system, police officers, firefighters, and that stuff. No, it doesn't. It pays for the inflation. That's all it does. Where they might not even be agents of the enemy and doing that, getting paid for it. Or they could all be working together to get people in prison. Because then you also have the prison system, privately owned, that gets paid for keeping as many people in prison. Could have the same kind of process going in other countries besides the United States. I'm just using the United States as an example. Now we have two others left. We have rebellion is theft, or equals theft, excuse me, and hide in plain sight. Rebellion equals theft means that when you are in rebellion to an evil that is happening, that same evil is stealing your time. God, in, I believe it is 1 Samuel, or it's 1 Chronicles, stated that rebellion is like witchcraft. It's not rebellion when you are fighting evil. Okay? It is rebellion when you are fighting against God and restoring original creation. So by upholding the system that we are in, is stealing the time to focus on restoring creation. Or, like for example, the controlled opposition of the satanic bloodlines, utilizing the people to rebel against the governments to overthrow them, is stealing the time from the people. And so they think like, oh, we got to do this, this way, this way, this way. For example, using psychic powers to and clairvoyance to determine where something is attached to from the original point. Or bringing down an institution in response to something they did that you don't like. when you rebel. It means you're looking for revenge from time lost, from a cut on your morals, to damage or death to another that didn't deserve it. That revenge also is rebellion. And so you are stealing energy from God, from the universe he created, to achieve your own end. Rebellion is about also when it is theft. Where the enemy could also be stealing from you and others behind your back. Your time, your resources, your energy, your people, in order to achieve the objective they wanted to achieve from the very beginning. That's rebellion, which equals theft. And of course, last but not least, for this season to end, hide in plain sight. It's a very, very common concept that's been used for thousands of years. What is hiding in plain sight? How does that even work? Well, you have as examples where the enemy could have certain plans underneath a statue, or they do their blood rituals and pedophilia under churches and lodges or pyramids. That people go to. Or how about the fact that people are able to go to Antarctica, but only parts of it that they're allowed to explore? Right. Or you could have someone that's an agent of the enemy, and you didn't even know, and you'd only know if you didn't research when they publicly expose themselves. Like Marjorie Greene Taylor, I think that's her last... I can never get it right. Marjorie Taylor Greene or Greene Taylor, whatever. Her. People finally saw that she's controlled opposition because she does not want the January 6th footage exposed for so-called, quote-unquote, security reasons. Sorry about that. I unplugged my mic there for a second. So if you missed that last part, sorry. I was saying that Marjorie Greene Taylor, or Taylor Greene, yes, has exposed herself that she has controlled opposition because she does not want the January 6th footage to be released to the public for quote-unquote security reasons. Yeah. Another one that would also be hidden in plain sight would be this TV series, well, Netflix series, called Inside Job. They showed a lot. They show a lot of things. There's a lot of foul language in there. So if you're triggered by that, or triggered by some other things, I might not suggest you watch it. But if you are not triggered, it will open your eyes to many things. Like, for example, Taylor Swift drinking the blood, or drinking blood, with the Queen of England. And talking about how she used stuff from, like, ancient Sumer in her music. And I'm like, what the heck? Yeah, and another thing, like, in Inside Job, they also talk about how they do, with the Deep State, which is a corporation, does blood rituals in order to uphold the stock exchange. Yes, that is true. That's the only way the stock exchange is actually held up, is doing blood rituals. It's not because people invest into it. That's just the energy people are giving to it for it to continue. So, and then they have the AI produce the algorithm. Hiding in plain sight to you all, and yeah. That is the entirety of How the Enemy Thinks and Acts, everyone. Yes, we have gotten to the very end of this. Absolutely. And we are going to go into season 4. So stick around and do support this channel. You can check out the link in my bio on my social media tab, TAB _ freedom. That's T as in Tango, A as in Alpha, B as in Bravo, _ freedom. And I have the link, which goes to my Cash App, my Venmo, and PayPal in there. Or if you want to do any kind of business consultations, or have a trust created, or correct your status, whatever it may be, I have those solutions there for you all. But it has been a real pleasure, everyone, in providing this awesome content. And if you feel like you can't donate, but you see that you'd be able to share this, please do so. It would be really appreciated. That's probably one of the biggest things that does help out, is sharing this. That I don't do any marketing with this, except on my own social media accounts. That's the only marketing I do. And as I told you all, I believe it was the beginning of this year, I was in the top 30% being shared globally. My podcast, top 30%. I was not going after that to achieve it. But to be in the top 30% globally, that's what they say on their thing, for my podcast, that's impressive for just the normal content that I'm providing that's somewhat deep. So, let's go to push for top 15% this time. That'd be really great. If we don't get there, no biggie. When we get there, that'll be awesome. That's if the system is still up and moving. With that, everyone, I appreciate you all listening into this awesome content, sharing this with everybody. And if you do not know Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, I recommend that you engage with him to gain experience. So that way you see, feel, hear, maybe even touch. And if you want to taste and smell, it's because of his bread of life and living water. So, you're all awesome. Until next time, catch you all out. Season 4. Peace.